taking singing lessons?
No.
That was a general question.
You almost murdered our table with water.
But no. Well, it's hard with all the little stuff we have going on in our little studio.
You think I take singing lessons? That's rude. I'm
I just
saving
took the
my
compliment
best.
Back.
You said, actually, you're getting a little bit of an ego there. Let's take that back. Also, that clip that you posted from...
I was hoping we would talk
the
about
the drowning
it.
Situation. Oh, uh-huh. Hello with the Mystery Files, by the way.
I'm Logan.
Tiffany, you know the drill.
You know what's happening here.
On our Instagram, @themysteryfiles_, Logan posted a video that was just me talking from last week about me drowning in a pool. Anyway... Benjamin's father watched that video. He thought it was so funny. Your laugh especially.
Well, as soon as you said it happened, and I was like, that's so bad.
Just like how funny and like chaotic that entire clip was, he enjoyed it. So, no, we have a fan. We have one fan who enjoyed the chaos of that clip.
I think that's what sells it. Like, I told Danielle this when I was editing that clip. I was like, I think what sells this is how mean I am to you. Like, the moment you said it. I just started laughing.
Well, I feel like in my brain, I didn't think it was mean, but like maybe I'll see the malicious intent later. But I feel like
I said it because it was insane.
I thought like you were laughing, like, oh my god, I can't believe that happened to you. Like, Tiffany, you're a victim.
Not, well,
like,
I said, are you okay?
Yeah, that's why I was like, okay, Logan really cares. Not, haha, Tiffany almost died.
But I think my response was not normal. I think if you were to tell somebody. That they would not hysterically cry laugh the way I did.
Maybe I should be a little afraid. You're getting that much joy out of my like almost drowning situation.
That's why this show works, is because I hate you.
Oh my god, cutesy! Wow, it's all in good fun, all in the love.
Did I tell you what I told Danielle when we hung out last week for like my graduation?
No, you did not.
I graduated from a social media fellowship, by the way, everybody. With the Andy Warhol Museum.
Hey, get
so,
it, get it.
So, if our socials look any better lately, that's because of me and not Tiffany. Just kidding.
Wow. The digs keep coming.
But I was so anxious that day.
Aww.
And I was in the car with Danielle and I went, oh my god, I get to bully Tiffany today. Today's going to be a great day. Because I knew I got to mess with you. Like, I knew as soon as I saw you, I could start messing.
Man, it was a good time. Apart from my migraine that day. I was like, I'm going to have a good time. Wrongo. Bullied. I hope it helped your anxiety, though.
No, it did. That's the thing, is like, you helped my anxiety because I'm like, I see you and I'm like, I can pick on you. That's crazy.
Someone else to make the vids.
Well, that's what I did on your birthday party. Like, I wouldn't step off your neck.
Relentless on my birthday. On my birthday.
You're not even safe on that day.
No, on my day.
Like, just the fact that, like, I forget who said it. I think it might have been Jesse or something. I, like, was saying some really rude stuff to you, and he just kept going, damn. Like,
That's a good bit. No one just doesn't get it.
Oh my
no
god.
Gets it.
But it's okay, because I didn't get to tell you yet, but I'm probably throwing a birthday party for myself in my house.
Nice.
So you can bully me at mine. Good. So it'll be like tradesies.
Good. I can't wait. Can't wait to bully you.
So it's all fair.
Yeah, and love and war.
Exactly.
And especially war.
Good luck. Last time.
Yeah.
We did The Haunting in Connecticut.
Thank God you said. I was about to read your screen. I'm like, what the heck was I was like, Haunting in Connecticut case.
How did you say them? The
Snedeker family?
The Snedeker family. That's
maybe.
Crazy.
Hopefully I'm saying that right this whole
time. Honestly.
Yeah, that was a fun case.
It was our fourth episode of season 8. It was episode 78. We're getting close.
I know.
We got told by somebody at my graduation last week that we should do something special for 100 episodes.
If anyone has any ideas, let us know. But I'm trying to plan something, though. So
yeah. We've been wanting to do a live show forever. So.
Yeah, I feel like that would be fun.
That would be fun.
So
let us know if you'd buy tickets to that.
Yeah.
I see you guys use the Q&A section on our podcast, wherever you listen. I see you guys... type in there. So.
Oh, cute.
You guys better tell me if that's something you want.
Yeah, in Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, PA.
Or in the YouTube comments also. I see y'all in there.
Yeah, we see you. We love you.
Did you see one of your I think one of your students said something to us?
No.
Should I give a shout out? It was cute. It was cute.
Oh, I'm really
I'll give a quick shout out.
I'm really afraid. Don't say their name, but you can show me their name.
Can I not say their first name?
For the greater good, probably no.
It says, hi, Tiffany. I'm from your French tour. The show is so cute and fun.
Oh, cute. Yeah, French tour. They were really sweet. They're actually one of the best groups of people I've actually got to lead yet. I even told them that. I said they were, like, the best, like, well-behaved students.
Aw, your other students that weren't in that group are watching
right now? Yeah, well, the thing is, they weren't, like, my personal students. They were just, like, some students I gave a tour for. So, really? Like, some kids from a school came in.
Aw.
So, when I was on their French tour, I said I had a podcast.
What's their first and last name and their address?
I don't know any of that.
And what school was it?
I can't even leak it. I don't remember. I just know they were French. Well, they weren't some of the
class. They were French? The kids?
No, it was, like, a French class. And I literally told them, I was like, yeah, I took 4 years of French, but I don't remember much except how to say falling down the stairs.
How do you say falling? Do you know?
Tomber de l'escalier.
Wait, say it again.
Tomber de l'escalier.
Tomber de l'escalier.
Yeah, I don't know why. That one, like, really stuck, and I feel like they appreciated my honesty, so.
I'm gonna do that to you later.
Hey, thank
you
for commenting. I know who you are. Logan knows who you are.
I do now.
And thank you for listening. If you're ever on a tour with me, and I told you about the podcast, thank you for listening.
Exactly.
I'm calling out to you.
My hair is a mess. I keep messing with
it. You look stunning.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sorry,
yeah,
everybody.
I feel like it doesn't help. I don't have the AC on, so you're probably melting.
Everybody, it is 82 degrees in here.
Here, cut. AC's on now. Logan won't die. Neither will I. But yes, thanks for coming, everyone. We love you the mouse.
We should do the idea we said off screen. We should get Mystery Files fans.
You know, get little fans. Like,
and like, clack them.
That'd be so cute.
Would you guys buy those? Be honest.
I would.
Which also, this last thing I'll plug before we get into the case.
Yeah.
I have to upload it first.
Okay.
The new merch.
Oh, yeah!
The merch. I gotta upload it.
Logan's working on cute merch right now.
It's really cute. Yes. If you guys don't get it, you don't like us. And you don't support
small
creators.
Yeah. So good
luck.
That's
fine.
That's okay. If you want to do that, it's fine. It's fine.
So yeah.
Buy that merch whenever it comes out because it's really cute.
It's really cute. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So are you ready for this week's case?
I am really ready.
So to clarify, before we give a little drum roll, I told Tiffany this was 62 pages originally. I had to cut it down to 13.
That's...
And 13 pages, this is still going to be an hour and 10 minute podcast because it's us.
It's us. We can't stop yapping. We're really yappas. We have a good time.
But yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
Do you want to give me a little drum roll?
I would love to.
This week on the Mystery Files, we are covering the case of 200 Demons House, the story of LaToya Ammons.
What? I've never heard of this.
200 Demons House, the story of LaToya Ammons.
200 Demons House?
200 Demons House.
I don't know what that is. So that's
well, guess
great.
What?
I'm going to learn.
It's a haunting again.
Yay!
Round two.
Okay.
I found so many articles based off this and like a lot of really fun stuff.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I love hauntings. You know me.
Yeah, I just really wanted to do it. So just a quote, I got this from the IndieStar.com mostly.
Okay.
They did a full length investigation into this case. So I kind
Ooh.
Of did some summarizations of it, some of the really cool stuff that was going on in it. So
yay! I'm so excited.
So let's get into the intro.
Okay.
This week, we embark on an in-depth exploration of the perplexing case of LaToya Ammons, whose family found themselves entangled in a web of supernatural occurrences and spiritual interventions. Situated in the heart of Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana. Michael Jackson's from there.
Is he actually?
Born in Gary. Well, I don't know if he's born, but he lived in Gary, Indiana. Which is also funny, because she said LaToya, and I was like, LaToya Jackson? But no.
It might be like a call. Oh my god, that's how she got her name. Wow.
LaToya.
The more you know.
The more you know.
The events surrounding the Ammons family, it sounds like I'm saying almonds, but I'm pretty sure it's Ammons.
I thought you were going to say Amish. Ammons.
Ah! Amish! Ammon. Horses!
Ah.
Family captivated public attention and sparked debates on the nature of possession and exorcism in contemporary society. Through meticulous analysis of eyewitness accounts, investigative reports, and expert testimonies, we delve into the multifaceted layers of this case, shedding light on the complexities of belief, skepticism, and the quest for understanding the face of the unknown.
Ooh, I'm really excited.
Yeah, so there's a lot in here. So we're obviously going to get into it. But the 62 pages, I was telling Danny about this when he was bringing me here.
Yeah.
This case, to give you guys a second, is basically like, the police were like, so we can't prove that there were demons.
Yeah.
But we can't.
Not
prove
say
it.
Something wasn't happening.
Like, they can't explain some stuff that happened to this family in a scientific or evidential way, so.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Let's start in the beginning. So, for fun, This is a more recent case.
Ooh, so, okay.
In January of 2014.
What the heck? That's like modern. Most of these are like the 1960s or 70s.
Okay, I know.
2014. We were alive.
This is older than this shirt. This is like by like 2 years. This is from 2016. So like that's kind of crazy. That's like soon. That's exactly 10 years. It's 2024.
That makes me want to throw up.
Oh, I'm going to be nauseous.
2014.
I was 16. Isn't that crazy? Not to reveal my age. No one talked about it.
Logan's actually really old. Watch out.
I'm actually 19 years old.
Why?
Girl, you know what I found out?
You're looking elderly.
I don't know if they're watching this or not.
Yeah.
My supervisor's at the Warhol. Yeah. They're younger than me. By like a year.
Like those two women?
Yeah. Love that piece, but they're younger than me. Isn't that crazy?
Good for them.
I know.
They are listening. Okay.
They kind of slay. Okay. I don't know if you guys are listening, but love you guys a lot, but gagged when I found out.
That's crazy. You're just old. You're old, you're decrepit.
That AC feels so nice, by the way.
I'm so glad. Good.
Off topic. Okay. So yeah, in January of 2014, the quiet streets of Gary, Indiana became the epicenter of a chilling saga that would defy rational explanation and captivate public imagination. At the center of this storm was Latoya Ammons, a single mother whose life would be forever altered by a series of inexplainable events. From demonic possessions to exorcisms, the case of Latoya Ammons offers a glimpse into the darker recesses of the human psyche and the age-old battle between good and evil.
Ooh, I already love this. A single mother?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
That's what made this interesting, too, is, like, doing stuff with that. And, like, they have, like, pictures of her and stuff. Like, let me look up a picture of her real life for you. Like, it's literally, like, I know it's a real person, but...
Aww,
this is a real lady.
She's so cute.
She is.
Aww.
Do you know what, like, it's just, like, crazy to me.
Yeah. That she's, like, real. Like, she's not in black and white.
Yeah.
Normally you just see all these pictures of black and white people and you're like, what is this?
The editing I did for the Haunting in Connecticut thing, it's, like, an old Polaroid.
Yeah.
And this is in, like, this could have been taken on an iPhone.
Yeah, it literally.
That's so wild.
That's wacky. No, right. I kind of love that. Also, I would just like to say, before we get deeper into this, I feel like this is amazing that she's a single mother, because now she has no partner in the picture to be like, oh my gosh, it's not haunted. Because normally it's like the husband or the wife or like some other person.
It's like you're a hypochondriac.
Them. Yeah, well, they're like, you're crazy, it's not haunted. So she doesn't have some partner out there that can like debunk her or make her feel stupid.
Or become possessed by the ghost. Because it's always the men that get possessed.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Well, except for what we're...
Oh,
anyway.
Man. But yeah, good for her.
Yeah. All right. So, the haunting begins. The haunting of Latoya Ammons and her family began enough with strange noises and unexplained phenomena plaguing their modest home on Carolina Street.
Ooh.
From creaking floorboards to disembodied voices.
Absolutely not.
The manifestations escalated in intensity, leaving the Ammons family gripped by fear and uncertainty. Despite their attempts to rationalize the occurrences, the pervasive sense of dread that permeated their home remained unshakable.
Ooh, freaky.
Yeah. So it's just like how the last haunting case was. Like, it's just like things started happening just slowly, and they just gradually are starting to get... more and more, like...
I'm feeling the tension rise.
Weird.
To the floorboards, to the voices.
I just love the jump from creaking floorboards, because it's like, that could be anything.
Yeah.
You know, the wind. And then it's like disembodied voices. Next up, the descent into darkness.
Ooh, love.
As the haunting intensified, Latoya Ammons and her children found themselves besieged by malevolent forces that seemed intent on their destruction.
Ooh, hate that.
With furniture levitating in the air, and then the worst part of all, shadowy figures lurked in the corners of their vision.
Ew, why is that the worst part? Your furniture's levitating.
I just think seeing stuff out of the corner of your eyes is the like most terrifying thing someone can go through.
I feel like my brain would be like, yeah, Tiffany, you're just kind of seeing stuff. Like, I can blame that on myself just like being a little off.
See, that would make me feel even crazier, though.
But I feel like I would feel insane if I looked over and saw, like, the bookshelf started levitating. I'd be like, what am I looking at? Mm-mm. Like, this isn't normally what I'm seeing.
There's an episode of Doctor Who that I watched where, like, the whole idea is that there's this alien that hides in the corner of your eye where you don't like to look.
Oh, no.
So it's like, you know how, like, there's a place in the room is like, I don't want to look over there? Ew. That's where it hides from people. Isn't that terrifying?
That's freaky.
That's why this freaks me out. Not like, imagine in the corner of your eye where you don't like to look. It's like, the shadowy figures.
Where I don't like to look.
Yeah. I'll have you know.
I'm kidding.
I would be the prettiest shadowy figure. Like, I'd have the thickest outline. They'd be like, okay.
All right.
Okay. Come on. Give us girth. Give us. What is the pencil? 2B? Give us 2B.
It's just straight. It's aggressively straight.
Not me. Okay. I'm gonna die on this podcast.
Get some help.
And levitate your furniture.
Dua Lipa.
And the air crackled with otherworldly energy. That's not as good.
I hate that air crackle.
Ugh, guys, we're really haunted. It's levitated furniture, shadowy figures in the corners of your eyes, and the air crackled. What does that mean? Like an AC? Like,
is it like when you see like auras?
Ooh, it might be.
Maybe. It just like...
What if it was, like, the sound of paper crinkling all the time? That would drive me insane.
It's TV static, but everyday life. Ew, I would hate that.
I would hate that, too, actually. Ew. That sucks.
Yeah.
Wait. That would actually terrify me. So, yeah. So, desperate for answers, LaToya turned to family, friends, and local authorities for help, but found little solace in their skepticism and disbelief.
Okay.
So, you know, tried calling the cops.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff going on. Didn't care.
People don't believe her.
I would feel sad a little bit if my family and friends didn't believe me.
Yeah.
Like, would you believe me?
Yeah. I believe anyone. You could tell me literally one thing and I'd be like, oh God, get out of there. Like,
I'd definitely believe you, I think. I think I'd believe anyone who told me. I'd be like, okay.
Even if, like, they're a little liar, like, I would still be like, okay, but, like, you could be right.
No, exactly.
You could be getting possessed right now. Like,
yeah, like, how do I know? I'm not there.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Like, I'm a little, what, like, easy happen? To persuade, I feel like. Darn, a ghost is getting you, you know.
What if you just started, like, blaming everything on a ghost for, like, crimes? Like, you just, like, you go to the supermarket, you steal a bunch of stuff, and you're like, oh my God, the demon possessed me again.
I'm literally getting haunted, guys.
I'm getting haunted
I swear I didn't commit arson. It was the ghost in me. Like, don't you worry, it was the ghost in me. I'm being possessed.
I would actually love that. That'd actually be pretty good. That wouldn't be bad at all.
Getting possessed? Don't say that. You're gonna let something in. Gonna let the light in.
I was gonna say that! Shut up!
I'm afraid.
Did I scare you?
No.
Tiffany, wake up.
Don't you do that.
You sicko. Hey, everyone listening to this episode, go to the comments and write Tiffany, wake up for me.
Guys, I'll have an existential crisis. That's my worst nightmare.
You should have thought about that before having a mystery podcast, so that's on you. All right.
Yeah.
The intervention of the church.
Bum, bum, bum,
bum, bum. Because you know it saves the day. A church.
A church. We're going to get called, like, blasphemous and get sent to Hecky Wecky.
I think we've already established that in probably, like, episode 22.
I'd like to remind everyone for the bazillionth time that I love God and I hate Satan. Because I'm,
She's wearing a red, beanie thing right now, which means she loves the devil.
Stop it! We joke too much. I'm afraid I'm, like, actually gonna invite something in. I don't want it.
You have to knock first.
To invite something?
Yeah.
You only knock two times, so you have to do three, because it's mock. Mock's the Holy Trinity.
Really?
Yeah. That's why, like, when...
What if it's four times? Is it good luck?
I don't know! But I know three times is supposed to be, like, well, don't do it as if you're mocking God. But, like... Demons, if you hear three knocks in the middle of the night, or you see three scratches, it's supposed to, like, mock the Holy Trinity.
That's kind of funny. Can I say that? Can I objectively... Okay, no, please, listen.
Yeah.
Hear me out, okay? Hear me out, please.
I'm hearing, I'm listening. Okay. God's listening.
So demons? Yeah. Demons are bad.
Yeah.
As we've established. Yeah. As you've established.
I have.
But you gotta admit, it is kind of really funny for them... to do that. Like, that's so spiteful and silly. Bit. Like, it's a bit.
Like, I sort of get it, but I don't.
Like, you little rascal.
Like, oh. Like, can they just do that and not, like, be so evil, like...
Right. They should just be silly pranksters. That's what angels are, basically.
Well, demons are tricksters. That's, like, their whole thing. Maybe demons aren't that bad.
Quote! Right here! God, put it on the Facebook!
God literally sends a lightning bolt down at me. It's like, I was waiting.
Your ass is gonna be on CNN later tonight.
Headline. Local girl believes in Satan. And more, she believes Satan is better than God.
Has a gay friend.
Gasp. It, like, shows images of you, but, like, they're red and, like, shaky.
They take me being hot in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, your face is red. They put, like, black, like, X's in your eyes.
Oh, wait.
Friends with.
I'm gonna make that video now.
Good.
Just so you know.
Do it.
All right.
How do you get on that topic? Intervention of the church.
Right. So, in a last-ditch effort to rid their home of the demonic presence that had taken root, LaToya and her family turned to the Catholic Church for assistance. Under the guidance of Father Michael, a seasoned exorcist, they embarked on a harrowing journey into the heart of the darkness. Ooh. What followed was a series of exorcisms that tested the limits of faith and endurance, culminating in a dramatic confrontation with the forces of evil.
Ooh. Can I say one thing?
What?
Okay, so, like, if you're an exorcist guy, like, you're Father Michael of that Catholic church, right, you're an exorcist. Right. You know, like, how when you have a job, like, you have to sort of like it a little bit, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, do you think this guy, like, kind of likes demons a little bit, and that's kind of why, like, he's an exorcist? Because he gets, like, a thrill, like, he kind of likes demons. I was going
to
say,
there has to be a bit of a high from it, right?
Yeah.
Like, a little bit of, like, a ooh.
But, like, wouldn't that be a little shady if you're supposed to be, like, working for God? You're like, ooh, I kind of just like demons a little
bit. It's like helping, though, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It's, like, dangerous.
Yeah.
What about the Scooby-Doo gang? They get into trouble all the time, and that's kind of, like...
I guess so.
They could just not, you know? They could just eat at home.
They could just eat at home. They could have their little binge session at home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, going to all the places.
But they kind of like it a little... They live on the wild side. A little bad, you know?
Hmm.
You know?
I guess that's true. Are exorcists just basically the Scooby-Doo gang?
Basically.
Have they done an exorcism on Scooby-Doo?
Well, they have, like, that masked ghost guy.
The who?
The masked ghost guy. I can't think of his name.
Oh,
the guy's like... the laugh guy? Do you know what I'm talking
masked
about?
Masked ghost
guy.
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Is it the hot one with the steel face?
No, ooh! Not the clown. It's that little laughy guy.
This one?
No. That's a clown.
This one. The white, the Luna ghost.
No. Yes, but no, not that one.
Girl.
I'll put a picture up later. I'll know it when I see it. I made it up.
Damn.
It's the little laughy guy. He laughs. I remember.
Wait, but does he laugh?
But does he laugh, though? He does, and he gives ghosts. He definitely does.
All right, so.
Yeah.
We're off to the media circus.
Oh, the clown.
Clowns. Okay. It all circles back.
It does.
So, as news of the Amon's family ordeal spread, media outlets started descending upon Gary and Deanna, eager to sensationalize their plight for public consumption.
As they do.
From tabloid headlines to primetime news segments, the story of LaToya Amon's captured the imagination of millions, spawning countless theories and conjectures about the nature of the possession and the exorcisms in the modern world.
Ooh, love.
Yet amidst the frenzy of the media attention, the human drama at the heart of the story remained largely overlooked.
Drama! I need to know more.
I know.
We'll get there.
So, in the court of public opinion, skepticism and belief clashed in a battle for dominance, with armchair skeptics and true believers alike weighing in on the validity of LaToya Amon's claims. While some dismissed her story as a hoax or delusion, others found themselves drawn to the unyielding conviction with which she spoke of her experiences.
Ooh.
In the absence of concrete evidence, the truth remained elusive, obscured by the fog of uncertainty.
Okay.
So, basically, LaToya was interviewed multiple times by these, like, people. And every time she would kind of, like, talk about these situations, it would be very, it would sound horrifying. Like, it sounded like something was wrong, and she was just asking for help.
So, she's, like, a storyteller. She knows how to, like...
Basically.
Okay.
I think she captured the minds of, like, people. Because, one, again, this was 2014.
Yeah.
And as we saw in, like, the picture, which we'll probably post somewhere, mm-hmm. She does look like just, you know, an everyday person. This is happening in real time. So it's hard not to feel, like, this personal connection with her story.
Okay.
You know?
I want to believe her. I don't know squat yet, but...
Exactly.
I want to.
So... As quickly as it had begun, the haunting of LaToya Mons and her family came to an abrupt and mysterious end with the departure of the malevolent entity that had tormented them for so long. They were left to pick up the pieces of their shattered lives and rebuild in the aftermath. Yet the scars of their ordeal would linger long after the final exorcism had been performed, serving as a haunting reminder of the fragility of sanity and the resilience of the human spirit.
Ooh, so, like, this left some, like, lasting impacts.
Yeah, and we'll get into, like, how the exorcisms were and, like, the impact of what that looked like.
Okay.
It was, like, kind of, like, an overview of, like, what's happening here and, like, the amount of cultural significance this had.
Ooh, okay.
You know?
Which, also, while you were reading, did you hear the floorboard squeak?
Yes, I did.
I don't know where that was from. I assume upstairs, but, like, I've never heard of a squeak like that.
You know
Not
what?
Not after.
It might have been what I invited here.
Stop the today. Talk right
Did I forget
now.
To tell you I brought a Ouija board? It's in my backpack.
You better get out of my house.
What? Why?
No. We're not going to have that in my apartment.
Why not?
I don't want the demons.
Please.
You did it at your house.
Really?
Before you move, and then, Danielle, don't listen to this, but, like, then Danielle will have the ghosts in there. She would hate you. She'd be so mad.
She's not listening to
No, she
podcast.
Would actually love it. She would want to do it with you, I think. A Ouija board?
Yeah.
I she won't would. Do it, but you can do it when I'm not there and tell me how it goes.
I'll let you know.
Okay. Perfect.
The psychological and socio-cultural perspectives of this case.
Fun.
So, from a psychological standpoint, the case of LaToya Ammons offers a fascinating glimpse into the complexities of belief and perception in the face of the unknown. Mm. From mass hysteria to culturally conditioning, the factors that shape our understanding of the supernatural are as diverse as they are enigmatic. Similarly, from a socio-cultural perspective, the case highlights the role of community dynamics and social norms in shaping individual experiences and interpretations of the paranormal.
Love.
Yeah. So, the legal and ethical ramifications of the Ammons case are far-reaching, touching upon issues of mental health, religious freedom, and the rights of individuals to seek assistance in the time of crisis.
Okay.
Questions surrounding informed consent, the role of religious institutions in secular society, and the boundaries of medical interventions remain unresolved, leaving policymakers and legal scholars grappling with the implications of the precedented case.
What happened? Oh my gosh.
I know. So this is, like, going into, like, the whole idea of, how I talked that, like, the police were involved and there was a lot of, like, we don't really know how to help with this case right now.
Yeah, well.
Right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that scary?
But if the police can't help, who can help except the Mr. Michael guy? Father Michael.
So, we're gonna get into some of the stuff with the hauntings and the cases here.
Okay.
So we're gonna get into the psychological of it all first.
Okay.
So this is called Government Agencies Witness the Paranormal Activity.
Ooh.
So, on April 19th, LaToya Ammons took her children to their family doctor, Jeffrey Onakua, to examine them. Onakua took note of the children's delusional behavior, including their low voices and disturbing statements.
What if they just have low voices? But disturbing statements I'm more concerned about.
I mean,
but, like,
I think the mixture of both is, like...
Okay.
What are we doing here?
Like, what's going on? These kids feel a little off.
So, the doctor actually told the Indianapolis Star, 20 years and I've never heard anything like that in my life. I was scared myself when I walked into the room.
Ooh, freaky.
I know.
These kids are a little scary.
Mm-hmm. While with the doctor, the children continued to show signs of demonic possession.
Absolutely not.
According to a report released from the Department of Child Safety.
That's crazy.
It's like, there's documented.
They're like, these kids seem a little possessed.
That's my favorite things about cases like this, is like when it's like unofficial government documents, I'm like, oh my god.
That's a lot. Okay.
Yeah. Medical staff witnessed LaToya's youngest son fly into the air and then against a wall without anyone touching him.
Huh?
That's what this says. That's what they are saying.
The doctors. The medical staff.
The medical staff said they witnessed LaToya's son fly into the air and against the wall without anyone touching
this
him.
This is for all the people who don't believe anything.
Right. Exactly.
The doctors saw, and you know doctors. They're pretty doctory.
Right. Ooh. What's more, though, is the boy also reportedly walked up a wall and did a flip over his grandmother. He's just doing stunts.
Do a flip. Go, grandma.
He said, parkour.
Watch out, grandma. Watch this.
And he starts, like, flip kicking.
Oh, I love that. Oh, my gosh. Wait. His eyes are, like, black. And he's like,
what if he's just, like, an alien and he's levitating? Like, he's not demonic.
He's just a little scary alien guy. It's giving, like, black eyed children vibes.
It is. You're right.
It literally is. I don't even know if they have black eyes, but, like, I'm imagining. Yeah.
So, according to this, a nurse and one of the Child Protective Services caseworkers both witnessed these events. Ooh. And were so terrified, they ran out of the room, never to touch it again.
Same. They said someone else can deal with that. That's honestly not in my pay grade.
I would take a shower for, like, 3 hours, maybe.
I'd be like, did I really just see that? Do I need help now?
Am I the evil one?
I think they never, like, go back to their jobs. I feel like that'd be my final straw. Like, okay.
Oh, I would quit.
I came here for a normal quit. Time.
I would take whatever was in my 401k and, like, run.
Yeah, good luck, Charlie. That ain't it.
Others, though, had their doubts about what was going on. Mm-hmm. Determined that the children were somehow in danger, the DCS acted quickly to separate LaToya Munz from her children. Mm-hmm. And Munz was heartbroken at the time. Mm-hmm. And this is a quote from her, also from the Indianapolis Star. So they did, so most of that information I was talking about earlier mm-hmm. is from the Indianapolis Star. Because they interviewed, like, so many people who were involved in the case.
Okay.
So we'd already been through so much and fought so hard for our lives, she recalled. It was obvious we were a team and we were beating it. Whatever we were fighting, we made it through together as a team. And then they separated us.
Oh, I bet things went downhill from there.
Yeah, it was basically like, we were fighting it together as a family, and now I'm here to do this alone.
Now they're going to be more vulnerable because they're alone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
So that's where we get to this. Mm-hmm. The demon haunting of LaToya Munz. Ooh. So, after the separation of LaToya Munz and her children, the DCS invited the Hammond Police Department to the Demon House to do a walkthrough of the home. Mm-hmm. While inside, the police officers noted a number of bizarre incidents themselves.
Oh, here we go.
According to their report, the two Hammond police officers experienced radio malfunctions, captured the presence of a white, smoky apparition, and seemed to report a ghostly voice saying, hey.
Ew. Okay. They're being, like, nice and social. What's the issue?
Right.
They're just, like, messing with your appointment going, hey.
That's terrifying, though. Like, I get the radio malfunctions.
Yeah.
But seeing a white, smoky apparition?
Yeah.
Operation?
I think it's apparition.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know.
The ghost saying hey is so funny.
It's so casual.
Hey. Literally, that's what I would do.
After it's, like, possessed all the children, made them walk on the walls in the doctor's office, they just want to go, hey, you see?
Bored. Hey, it's bored out of its mind.
Remember us. Let's just have some stuff fly around the air.
Exactly.
Love that.
Yeah, so during a subsequent visit, they also noted a strange oily substance dripping from the blinds.
Ew. I never thought that. That's a little weird.
That's weird, because it's, like, not saying it's, like, blood or anything. It's just oily
substance. I don't know. Maybe it's, like, similar to, like, that goo stuff that's in, what's it called? Ghostbusters? Isn't there some sort of, like, ectoplasm? Is that what it's called? I don't know.
It could be.
The goo.
Did you ever hear the story? This is crazy, because I just learned about this recently.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear about the hoax of the crying Mother Mary?
I'm thinking of, like, while they're on a crying woman. I don't think
that's so, Mother Mary. So there was, I don't remember where it was,
mm-hmm.
but there was a Mother Mary statue, and it had pictures of it looked like it was crying. And people were like, oh my God, this is God, like, sending us a sign that he hates what we've done.
Oh, no.
And it came out later on that it was just olive oil. Someone smeared olive oil down this Mother Mary statue to make it look like she was crying.
That's crazy.
It was like a PR stunt, basically.
It probably, like, sent people into, like, whole, like, existential crisis of, like, what is life, what is death, what is God. Like,
right.
Oh, my
gosh. Isn't that insane? Have you never heard about that?
No.
Because I've heard about, like, a weeping woman, like, statue. But I didn't know that there was one where, like, someone smeared olive oil all over them.
That's a dirty little prank. It'd be a shame if someone here were to pull something like that. But
did you ever fake cry as a kid?
Logan LeMaster, I'm going to throw up that you just said that.
Why?
Because I teach 6 and 7 year olds.
Oh, God.
And, literally last week, like, this week, actually, this week, there was an entire bit where they were all showing me their fake cries and who, like, had the realest fake cry.
Oh, my God.
And, like, it was a whole, like, bit for the entire class period of our fake cries.
That sounds insane. So who won?
You? They did, like, mine. So I was a little actress, but... But then they kept doing it, like, they had these hot glue guns, and then one kid, like, was really dramatic, like, ow! And then, like, literally started fake crying, and I was like, that sounds like your fake cry. And then they, like, looked up from their fake cry and started giggling. I'm like, I know you didn't burn your finger. I know you didn't burn on the hot glue gun, little sicko.
That's where it gets into dangerous territory, because it's like, someone could be bleeding, and they're
Well, that's why I literally told them, I'm like, guys, I mean, keep doing this as much as you want, but this is going to be a boy cried wolf situation. One of you is going to actually be hurting, and I'm going to be like, haha, silly kid, burnt their finger.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just funny that you mentioned that, but where were you going with the fake crying?
So, okay.
Yeah.
I am praying to God.
Oh, no.
He's not watching this. There's no way. There's no way he knows who I am anymore. And that's fine.
You're far gone.
And that's fine. I'm literally setting up the story like the trail. Okay.
Oh, God.
When I used to go to Christian camp.
Okay.
There was this camp counselor.
Yeah.
I was in love with him. But before I knew I was gay, I just didn't know why I was obsessed with this man.
Yeah.
But I loved him. His name was, Jacob.
Jacob. Very Christian name.
Jacob.
Strong Christian name.
And he had a girlfriend at the time. And I didn't realize that I was kind of jealous of her.
Okay.
So there was this one day.
I don't know.
They came to visit me and my family. And they were like, can we take Logan out for, like, you know, like, ice cream or something like that? And I was like, oh, my God, I would love to come. So they took me out, you know, because, like, they were, like, my camp counselors. They loved me. And I was in love with him. And there was one time they were not paying attention to me, like, at all in the car. Uh-huh. And I got so mad that I started pretending to fake cry.
Okay.
And then I couldn't make enough tears. So I went, spit into my hands. And then I started rubbing it under my eyes and down my face to make it look like I had been, like, sobbing for minutes on end.
You sicko.
And he was like, oh my God, are you okay? I was like, yeah,
what was your reason?
Really hoping. I think I was just mad they weren't talking to me.
Well, like, what was your reason why you were crying? Like, did they ask, like, oh, what's wrong?
I think it was just like, oh, I thought we were going to go to the ice cream place and we're doing all these other stops. I didn't really want to talk with Jim.
Stop. They were like, we're never taking Logan anywhere again.
No, for real. I didn't realize I was crying that much for attention. And then later that night, the girlfriend comes up to me and was like, was that spit?
Ew.
I was 10.
Did she have to ask, though? I feel like she could have just, like...
determined it on her own?
Yeah, just been like, oh, that was weird. Logan spit on their face. Like, why'd she have to say it, though?
I don't know. But that's one of the most, like, fake crying stories I have is, like, I was needing this man's attention so desperately that I fake cried.
Man, even back in the day, you said, let's stir the pot.
I was a little liar.
Let's stir the pot.
And again, like I said, what made it the funniest is that I didn't know I was gay yet. I didn't know why I was so upset he wasn't talking to me.
Wow.
It was like those moments of, like, you know you're gay, but you don't know yet. Because I was just so in love with him, and I didn't know.
Oh my gosh.
I had no clue. No clue.
Crying Logan did.
Anyway.
Crying Logan did.
At the same time as all of this was happening, a local priest named Michael Maginot heard about the case and decided to investigate. After writing a request to a bishop to perform an exorcism on Latoya Ammons, Maginot performed a small exorcism in the presence of two police officers and a DCS case manager.
That's crazy. Can you imagine your DCS case manager and they're like, okay, girl, it's time for you to watch an exorcism. And you're like, I was just trying to help kids. I didn't think I was going to be stepping into an exorcism.
And again, not to remind you, but this is the age of iPhones. This is all happening in.
I keep forgetting that. I keep thinking it's way back in the day.
This is like in the 80s? No, girl.
No, it's modern day.
This is a modern day haunting case.
That's crazy.
I know, ew. Right?
Why is no one recording the kids on the walls? Like,
you know? Why? I bet that's some of the skepticism, that someone did not pull out an iPhone.
Or, like, why were there not, like, I don't know if there's security cameras in, like, doctor's office, like, rooms.
I don't think
like,
they are. I think that's
rooms.
A violation.
HIPAA something, I don't know.
Hippopotamus.
Or, like, releasing it. Well, yeah, because they couldn't release it because, not hippopotamus, because of HIPAA.
Oh.
Like, maybe they couldn't, like, the doctor's office couldn't be like, here, officers, because it's HIPAA, they couldn't release. I don't know.
You're right, actually.
I
Wait,
don't know
that's
HIPAA.
Possible.
I'm just a girl.
Are you?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Get sicker every day. Sick every day.
So, the DCS case manager said, we felt like someone was in the room with you. Someone breathing down your neck.
Ew.
Like, she just felt like the vibes were off.
Hate that. I believe it.
So, Reverend Maginot would perform a total of 3 exorcisms on LaToya Ammons.
Oh, my goodness.
After the 3rd exorcism, and after one of Maginot's associates burned a piece of paper with the demon's names on it, Ammons started to feel normal again. She and Campbell moved up back to Indianapolis, and Ammons regained custody of her 3 kids in November. They were happy to put the memories of the demon house behind them. It was later purchased by paranormal investigator Zach Begons, who demolished it in 2016, but saved pieces of its basement for his Las Vegas museum.
Hey, that's the Ghost Adventures guy.
Huh?
That's a ghost investigator guy. The Ghost Hunters.
Is he really?
Zach Bagans.
Okay, I was going to say, because they did a documentary based on this.
Okay, was it like one of the episodes, or was it just a documentary?
I think it was a documentary. Let me double check. Okay. Yeah, a documentary film. In 2014, Ooh. He bought the house. Mm-hmm. He titled the documentary Demon House.
Okay, huh.
So that might be worth a watch.
I might give it a watch.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Bagans is a little crazy, but I'll give it a watch.
He's probably fine.
He's just a little off his rocker. That's okay. We love him for it.
What does he look like? I knew he was
He
in
has,
this.
Like, those thick black glasses, dark hair.
Oh, posters. It's this guy.
Do you remember him?
I do.
He's like, and that night, we definitely saw the scariest ghost we'd ever come across. We would all be different after this night.
My
because
God.
The ghost whispered in my ear something I'll never repeat because it wasn't real. That's literally what he does.
That's insane, actually.
That
oh,
was pretty
my
good
God.
Impersonation of him.
No, that was pretty
if
good.
If I do say so myself.
I literally watched an episode of a show.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. I'm not afraid. I watched an episode of South Park. Okay. And they literally did that, like, bit. It was like, what we saw, Ooh. We could never see again, would change us forever.
And we'll never say a word. We kept that secret to our grave. That's literally what they all do.
It's so good.
Man, and I believe in ghosts, but like some of you guys out there.
So what do you think about like this case so far? Like what are your like, we're not done yet, but like what are you thinking in terms of just like the demon stuff and like all the writings on the walls, the exorcisms, the freeing of the spirits? The parkour.
I don't know. I feel like, did the kids all get exorcism or just the mom?
I think the mom did, because I think it was, like, mostly attached to her.
So, like, they were saying if they were, like, able to get the ghost out of the mom, the kids would be fine?
I think so. I think it's, like, a get rid of the origin.
Yeah.
It breaks off.
So it said 3 different ones, so I'm wondering if there was any type done on the children. Because I feel like that's my main concern. Those kids were walking on walls.
Yeah.
That's what literally jumped over grandma. Like, I'm a little concerned for that. So
yeah.
So, like, I definitely... These kids are probably still alive. I feel like they're not done.
Yeah, no, honestly.
Yeah, 10 years later, like...
Yeah, I wonder what they're up to nowadays.
Still haunted.
Ooh,
freaky.
But I don't know. Like, there's, like, a possibility of that. But, like, I think it's possible it might have just been attached to the house in her, mostly. But
okay.
I think that goes into, like, the whole idea of the stuff, because mm-hmm. it being called 200 Demons House as well, I should have clarified, yeah. is that they believed 200 spirits were oh. haunting that house at all times.
So did they write every single spirit's name on that paper and burn it, or just, like, the top three? Like, the most dangerous
It has to be, something. Like, the top three or something.
Because
or,
I'm like, to write 200 demons' names, I feel like...
It might also be, like, a thing of, like, giving a demon a name takes away its power.
I've
heard
don't
of,
know.
Have you heard of that before?
Well, I feel like I've heard it gives it more power, but I guess really? It depends on what... Hmm. I don't know. Like, you shouldn't say a demon's name because it's an invitation. Acknowledging it is an invitation.
That's a good point. I haven't really thought about it like that before.
I don't if it's know. Like, but I guess if you're saying it in a way that you're taking it down or, like, trying to... I don't know. I just don't play yeah. with it. Just in case. Just in case.
Just in case.
I don't want to find out.
For old time's sake.
For old time's sake. I am a little concerned about, like, the caseworkers. Whoever wrote the names on the paper, even well, though it was burned, I'm like, maybe it attached to them.
I think that's what's the most interesting about this case. Is, like, I see where the skepticism kind of comes from in a way, because, like... a lot of the stuff I was reading, like, there's a lot of, like, little holes in, yeah. like, a lot of this stuff, but, like, not, like, crazy either. Like, it's still mm-hmm. a concise story, but at the same time, you're kind of like, what happened what? Here?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, like, interesting to me. Like, what was the thing? Like, because I had the Indy Star article, and that's where I got, like, 62 pages, because they, like, did...
Such
all
a thorough
these
investigation.
Thorough investigation of, like, everything that happened.
Yeah.
But still, with all of it being said, it was, like, kind of, like, this is all, like, I could really find. Like, mm-hmm. it was mostly, like, them finding stuff.
Yeah.
And just, like, little evil things in between.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I definitely believe it. I feel like if there were so many people in, like, not, like, high positions, but, like, more...
Yeah.
People who are, like, doctors that, like, they have yeah. a pretty, like...
Child care workers.
Like, they have a pretty just, like, bland, like, line for, like, their everyday normal. So they're not going to casually yeah. be like, yeah, there was a demon in the office. Like, they're pretty, like, stable individuals. So I feel like for them to yeah. say something like that was going on, it's a little more believable, in my opinion. But...
What I think is the craziest part of it is just, like, the whole, Yeah, just, like, the idea, like you said, of, like... people were there for them. Like, I wonder, I wonder what the relevance of having a child care worker at the exorcism was. Like, maybe to, like, prove it wasn't abuse and it was actually
prove
demonic
the kids were okay.
or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's just so interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm just like, oh.
I guess my, another question I would have, like, if this were to, like, be dug into deeper, is if, like, when the family was separated, like, were the kids... feeling anything. So I feel like it says, like, the mom.
Yeah.
The mom was still being impacted, from my understanding, and, like, it got pretty bad. But, like, were her kids still experiencing stuff, like, outside while being separated?
What? So I, like, read over all of it, and I didn't see anything, but let me, like, double check. Like, let me triple check that nothing happened other than, like, this stuff with the kids. Let me do a quick little search.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently the mother... swears by the story,
mm-hmm.
but she said that the kids could not be interviewed or named in the cases. But she signed releases letting the Star review the medical, psychological, and official records that aren't open to the public that talked about what happened to them. But the kids' names are completely anonymous. So that's probably why we don't know a lot of information
about the kids in the
situation.
I feel like I still... that still makes me believe it. Like, it doesn't invalidate the story at all, because I'm like, she genuinely just doesn't want her kids to be, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, super in, like, the limelight. Because I feel like if she were trying to, like, get all these interviews with her kids, like, it would be more of, like, this was a cash grab for, like, paparazzi to, like, come and see your kids who are possessed.
Right. Like you wouldn't want that for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, I think that's, like, the smartest choice. And that's why, like, we don't know anything. Like, we know they were taken and that there was child care workers involved. But, like, especially for a story in the age of the internet, mm-hmm. it'd probably be bad to have, like, their names out in public.
Yeah. And I feel like, also, if people were to, like, force these interviews and, like, make them talk about it, like, this might be something that, one... they don't have a memory of because mm-hmm. it was so traumatic and, like, they were being possessed. Or, like, two, that the mother doesn't want them to relive that trauma of experiencing that. Like, she's trying to protect them from, like, continuing to relive it.
Right, exactly. So, but yeah. What I think is crazy is that the indie star got the records of the kids to see the story. And that's why they talk about the floating on the walls and, like, all that stuff. Yeah. But it's cool that they left it disclosed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was triple checking. But they it says they get separated, but they never talk about what happens in the in-between of them not being together.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I think is the craziest part is, like, after the exorcism, things going back to normal, and you get your kids back.
Yeah.
That's, like, crazy to me.
I feel like I'd be so scared. I'm like, is it really not haunted, Mom? Like, I'm really freaked out.
Yeah. No, oh, my God. I can't imagine,
like,
being taken from my mom during a haunting of, like, 200 demons.
And then having to go to either, like, they'd be living with, like, family or, like, set with a foster family. Like, can you imagine going to a foster house?
Stop.
Well, going to a strange foster house, I'd be like, okay, this is more haunted because this is a strange place and I'm a child.
Not
like,
to put you on blast, but this would be a crazy movie for you to make.
I know.
Like, that would actually be insane.
Like, ooh, you have to go to a foster house. And that's haunted, too.
Ooh.
Or, like, it follows you to, like, this really scary, like, farmhouse. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
What I find so interesting about this case is the crypticness of some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, how could there be a 62-page drawn-out article of all this stuff, but they're not able to tell us exact names of, like, demons, just, like, experiences or, like, what's happened. Like, so I see this is what I said at the top of the episode. It's like, there were real police investigations into it, and their whole thing was, I can't say there are demons, but I can't say there aren't, or something.
You know what? I feel like the information that they're not giving us, I feel like it's telling me a lot that, like, it makes me feel like it's more true, especially if they wouldn't disclose the demons' names, because if they were like, yes, we're going to write all of these demons' names down and then burn the paper, they were trying to, like, literally expel the demons, get rid of them. So if they were to, like, go out and be like, okay, whole world, here's this list of demon names.
Oh, like, they could summon them.
They could summon them, or they could reawaken the spirits they literally just exercised. So I feel like that makes me believe it a little more.
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah, I just looked here, and they're not saying what the names of it. Like, I tried Googling it real quick, and, like, they're not saying anything.
Because I feel like, why would you want to give the names? And, like, I know there's a lot of cases out there that do have, like Bathsheba Sherman, the demon that was in, I think, The Conjuring House. Like, we know her name.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. It's, like, different cases, I feel like it makes sense, but I feel like, they don't want to give all those names out if they literally just, like, work so hard getting rid of them.
No, like, not at all. Like, but that's the thing. And it's just, like, so interesting to me. Like, it's also just such a bold claim to say it's 200 demons. Like,
yeah.
That's so, not funny.
That's a lot of, like, demons.
It's excessive, right? It's, like,
that's very excessive.
And that's a lot of demons.
That's a lot of demons. Respectfully.
So I think that's literally almost everything before the conclusion. So where do you land on it? Like, would you think this was a real experience these people had? Or do you think it's a little more skepticism? Like, where are you?
I feel like I really do believe it. Because I feel like they have these people who are, like, just everyday people going to their everyday jobs. Like, people who were going to work in, like, social work for children.
Yeah.
They start seeing stuff. People in the hospital start seeing stuff. And I feel like especially in the hospital, because they have to come from a standpoint of, like, not believing in, like, the supernatural, or, like, they have to, like, be, like, concrete evidence, like, this points to this, like, medical reasoning, like, a psychological reason has to be the answer for seeing, like, something this, like, off the wall, literally.
Literally.
So I feel like it makes sense that
if
they're saying this is real, I do feel like at least part of it's real. And I feel like because they didn't give the kids names, they weren't trying to, like, make money off of it. Because we've had our cases before where, like, families are trying to get that money from their haunted house.
Well, that's what I find actually the most interesting about this, is that there doesn't seem to be a marketing scheme.
Yeah.
Like, the only real claim you can make is that they want attention or something.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they made any money off of this. I mean, maybe for, like, being interviewed, but
it
couldn't have been that much money to get, like, an interview with this information, you know?
And I feel like she was still protecting her kids through all of it. Like, she wasn't trying to, like, make bank off her children.
Right. And obviously, I know it's a little contradictive, but she did that for the sake of what we're doing right now about talking about this case. Like, she didn't want us blasting her children's name out.
Because we're a podcast in 2024.
Right. So they didn't want people, like, making YouTube videos about her, yeah. like, 12-year-old, 9-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm. And, but, listen, if you kids are out there somewhere and, like, you're adults yeah. now, you should just tell us, like, what your tea from the situation was. Like, reach out to yeah. us personally.
Let us know.
Let us know. If you're listening to this episode, I don't know if you are, but, like, what if they do? Like, the world is tiny sometimes.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Should I get into my conclusion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, don't do that.
All right. So, all right. The case of LaToya Amon stands as a testament to the enduring power of the unknown. Through its twists and turns, we're reminded of the fragility of reality and the resilience of the human spirit. As we bid farewell to the shadows of the past, let us carry forward the lessons learned. Ever vigilant in our quest for truth and understanding, for in the darkness there lies the promise of enlightenment, waiting to be discovered by those brave enough to seek it. But I guess what happened at 200 Demons House will always and forever remain
a mystery. Yeah. Stunning.
Thank Amazing. You guys so much for watching.
Thank you.
Follow us on the Instagram at @TheMysteryFiles_. Follow us on the TikTok at
The Mystery Files Podcast.
Doom. Buy some of our merch over on Bonfire or yes, Redbubble.
Definitely.
Give us a rating. Give us a 5-star yeah, rating. Leave a comment. Rating.
Yes,
give
please
us a
leave
like.
A comment. We want to hear your little Share. Voices. So
please, it really helps us. Like yeah. every time we get a review, like a good review, it helps boost us in the algorithm.
Also, just makes us happy to like see we're talking to people. You know,
yeah, that's my second favorite part.
Yeah, I also like just be on camera. No, but like, it's just nice to like yes. know there's people on the other side. We're not just like putting this out to like
yes.
no one. There's actual people listening, which is really cool.
And we would love to hear if there's any cases you would like for us to yeah. cover. Like, it's definitely not getting any harder finding cases. I feel yeah. like we had a slump maybe for a second where yeah. it was hard. But even stuff like this Amon's case, I don't know many people who cover this.
Yeah, I've never so. Heard of this case. So, hey.
So, let us know if there's anything we haven't covered yet or what your favorite is as well.
Yes, you would love that. Thank you yes. all for listening. We love you the most.
And we'll see you next time for Tiffany's case.
Yes, we will see you then. Ooh. Goodbye.
Bye.